Did you know that there are three kinds of people? Three kinds of people. First kind of person, those that make things happen. Second kind of person, those that watch things happen. And the third kind of person, they're the ones that say, "What happened?" Have you ever thought about which one you are? I can tell you about a group of nine people who made things happen yesterday here at St. Andrews. A group got together at 9 a.m. to clean up and add some beauty to the grounds here at church. Holly and Wesley Lott, Henry Martin, Andrew and Stephanie Deese, George and Jeanette Blampede, Deacon Bob Lott, and me. Two others had every intention to come and join us, and that's Gabe Evans and Jay Vickers, and circumstances kept them from being able to be here, but they had every intention, and I know that they're going to be doing things coming in behind us. You may have seen some of the changes or additions as you came into church this morning. You may have noticed the additions to our gardens out front, the beautiful lantana plants that were planted, or maybe the pine straw that is strategically all around the garden beds. The trimming of some of the overgrown bushes and trees. One that almost completely disappeared so I can see out my office window. The pressure washing. That building, that parish hall, wow, the brick was almost black. Well, there's a lot more brick showing. It's not done. We've got more to do. But Rome wasn't built in a day, as they said. Maybe incredible. Maybe you noticed it when you came in, or maybe you'll notice it when you leave. You would be in that group that might say, "What happened?" And I hope you can join us for our next work day in the cooler fall. Speaking of coolers, we went through a lot of water yesterday, but that's a good thing. Got to hydrate. So I'm going to ask you about Vacation Bible School. Are you a person that's going to say, "I want to make things happen to help shine Christ's light in me?" Or are you going to watch what happens or say, "What happened?" Again, I told you the opportunity to make some of the meals, get with Holly and Marilyn. There are a lot of opportunities, brothers and sisters. Today's Holy Gospel, this reading is an event at which you might easily recognize the three different types I just spoke about. Jesus, just to let you know what was going on the other side of a lake. Now, you're going to hear the Sea of Galilee spoken of as a lake, Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. Same body of water. Well, Jesus was on the other side of the lake earlier in Mark chapter 5, and he'd just driven out a legion of demons from a man, and he sent them into pigs. Well, the key is, if there are pigs, it's not the Jewish side of the lake. They didn't grow pigs and they didn't eat pigs, so it was over by the Decapolis, the pagan side, or eastern shore of the lake. And he sent them into the lake where they drowned. Well, this, where he was now, is the western side of the lake. And in order for us to follow this gospel message more clearly, I'm going to ask you to take your pew Bibles out, the red book in your pew racks, and I'm going to ask you to open to page 1563, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, page 1563. And we're going to start with verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. I want you to understand that Jesus was now back on the Jewish side of the lake. He was met, if you keep reading, by one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. This is not the temple, but one of the local town synagogues. We don't know what town this was. It could have been Chorazin, it could have been Bethsaida, or it could have been Capernaum, or another. We're not told. Well, this man named Jairus came to Jesus and begs him to come. Not just begs him by word, but by action. He fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. And he pleaded. I want you to look at verse 23. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jesus, who was always compassionate, went with him. Understand the faith that it took for this man, a Jewish leader, to get on his knees and say, without a shadow of a doubt, in his heart, in his mind, and in his voice, if you lay hands on her, she will be healed and live. Jesus certainly is one who makes things happen. Wouldn't you agree? And apparently, I got to tell you, I think Jairus is too. It took a lot of guts for him to come, possibly in front of a lot of his congregants, and go before this itinerant preacher and beg him, not just ask, he begged him to come and save his daughter. Yeah, think for yourself, if one of your children were ill, or one of your grandchildren, and many of you have had that situation, the thoughts that you would say and do anything to the doctor, to the nurses, to the caregivers, to help in any way possible, and to be healed, and you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to go into detail. He wants his daughter to live. And so he doesn't just come up to Jesus, he humbles himself, begging our Savior to come with him. Now, if you look at your bulletins, in your bulletin with this reading, you'll notice that it's parsed. I'm not a big fan of the lectionary being parsed, because a lot of times it's cutting out, well, in the old world, if you will, it was cutting out portions about sin and repentance. Just, I'm telling it like it is. But there's a reason that this is parsed. You see, it says Mark 5, 22 to 24, comma, 35b to 43. What does that mean? Okay, what's the B mean? Well, it means that you're going to go to the second part of the verse. Well, it's because something else is happening in between. I'm not going to make you wonder. I'll tell you what that is. Okay? Jesus followed Jairus at the end of verse 24. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years had faith. She had enough of it. And she thought if she could only just touch Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. I would say that she's definitely a person that makes things happen. Because it took a lot of guts for her to do that. Because a woman who has a bleeding issue is considered unclean. And if she touched Jesus, she would be making him unclean too, in according to the law of Moses. When she touches Jesus, he immediately feels the power go out of him, and he asks, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" He asks later in that verse, "Who touched me?" It's in verse 30. So I have to ask you, in this situation, is Jesus a make things happen guy, or a what happened? It's possible that he could be both. This situation is another sermon for another day, but I want to tell you why the comma was there. We weren't cutting anything out. It was just because that's a whole nother sermon and a whole nother miracle. So we have to move back. We have to go to verse 35b. And the B means that we go to the second thought of this verse. We'll pick it up with, if you go to 35, and you're going to have to turn the page to get there. 35, you see, while Jesus was still speaking, well, that's A. B is, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter's dead," they said. Can you imagine getting closer to home and all of a sudden having somebody come to you and say, "Your daughter's dead"? Jesus has up to this point in his life exhibited miraculous power over demons, which we talked about earlier, over sickness, over physical disabilities, the forces of nature. When he spoke to the storm, we talked about that last week and how the storm just died. And now he's about to take head on death. Jesus is about to give Jairus a hint that all will be well because of his great faith in coming to Jesus in the first place. I want you to look at verses 36 and 37 here. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Wow. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Jesus and his trusted trio, who went many places with him, including to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, went to the home of Jairus. And when they got there, they found an air of despair and confusion. People who were present were emotional, and they were crying loudly. But Jesus was very confident and in control, knowing exactly what was ahead for the girl and for the family. He went in and he said to them, and look at, if you will, verse 39. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." You would think that they might find hope in Jesus' words. After all, Jairus came looking for Jesus, knowing that all Jesus had to do was touch the girl, lay hands on her, and she would live. But all the people that were present, including the family, laughed at Jesus. Can you imagine the emotion that must have been in that room? The tension, knowing that now this girl is believed to be dead. And he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the three disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. That's verse 40. You got to agree with me. Jesus is master of all and was taking on the greatest physical roadblock known to humanity, death. It would be one of three times in the gospel readings that Jesus would bring someone back from the dead. We've got this Jairus' daughter. We have the son of the widow from Nain. And Jesus' friend, Lazarus. Three people. Don't go past that quickly. Three people. It's a significant number. Three is found throughout the Bible as things that are happening 3 days in the tomb. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual number. And it would lead to the greatest restoration of life of all. Jesus' own resurrection from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion. Now let's take a look. Let's go back to the book and look at verse 41. Verse 41. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Can you imagine the expressions on the face of her parents and of the three apostles? Now look at the next verse, verse 42. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Wow. And they were completely astonished. I think that's putting it mildly. Think about it. Put yourself in that room. I would have been like, whoa. I think you would have too. Absolutely incredible. The gospel says that Jesus told them not to tell anybody and then to get her something to eat. Now think about this. She would have to go out of that room where the people were wringing their hands in mourning. And can you imagine their shock? And to prove that she was really alive, Jesus wanted her to have something to eat. If you fast forward to the risen Jesus, he ate with the apostles to prove to them that not only did he give them his hands and his side and his feet, but he also ate with them, especially to those who were on the road to Emmaus. He sat and he ate with them. And when he broke the bread, they realized, uh-oh, this is him. This is the he that we've been talking about all the way on the road. This was a sure sign that this teenager was alive. Hey, we know teenagers. Do teenagers like to eat? Yep. So do youngsters, and that's why we need food for the vacation Bible school. Another shameless hint. But as I said before, Jesus had conquered nature, sickness, demons, physical disabilities, and now death. He would conquer death completely as well, and sin on the cross at Calvary. But his time was not yet at hand. he had a lot more to teach us and to do before his arrest, torture, trial, and murder. One of the apostles who was present that day at the home of Jairus was also present at all the other miracles that Jesus performed. As a matter of fact, let me read to you from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. John wrote this: Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The key word here, my brothers and sisters, is believing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, the difference between life and death is believing in Jesus Christ. Can it be that easy? Yep. Jesus knows how we're wired, and he knows how difficult it is for us in this life. He walked in our shoes and knows that by believing in him, the door to death is closed. The door to sin can be forgiven simply by believing. And Jesus' miracles were not to prove who he was, but many were so that people's faith was rewarded. He told the woman with the bleeding issue, "By your faith you are healed." He said that many times. And also to see that people's needs were met. How many people in here have been prayed for by me, by others, and felt a sense of peace, a sense of healing? That's how much he loves us. Remember the words that Jesus said to Jairus? You can look back at it in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." You don't have to be a rocket scientist to believe. Important words for all of us today and in any circumstances. Faith and truth from the author of both. Don't be afraid. Just believe. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.